Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I just wanted to really put an emphasis on that because we have a special program for you tonight. This is your typical Podnuts Pro M&M show, but the second part of the M&M is the one, the only, Mr. Martin Obando in the house. Martin, how are you, sir?
I am doing really good. It's, you know, you reached out to me, and I was excited to get on here and just see you guys again. It's been, I feel like I'm back. I feel like I'm, this is comfortable. It's like putting on a nice, comfortable pair of shoes or your nice favorite sweatshirt. Just sit and just bask in the glory of the M&Ms.
Well, I mean,
or the M.
The M. So, yeah, well, you know, that, you know, I keep saying you're on your summer sabbatical. So, and how is that going?
Well, in Portland, summer is like a day, and I think it's today, actually. So I'll be back sooner than later. Nah, things are going really well. You know, I did have to step away for a little bit. Work has just gone nutso. About the time that I had to step away for a little bit, I did have to lay off my employee.
Oh.
So I'm flying solo right now. I'm in contact with a great gentleman that I have known for many, many years and actually worked with him, trained him in his current position, and he is looking at wanting to come and work with me. So I'm really excited. We're just, you know, now comes the money part and the finance part and down to the nitty gritty. So I've got some ideas. He's got some ideas. We're talking. I'm running some ideas through. So hopefully, knocking on some wood there, summer's here. He does work for a school district, and then we're looking at September 1st. But if he comes on in September 1st, I will be ecstatic because this is a gentleman that I can fully trust with my business. I can go on vacation. I know he's going to handle everything. This guy is super, super smart. He will just need to catch up to speed with just how the business is ran. But other than that, training, it's so nice to be able to be able to bring somebody on who I know that their skill set is right on par. We work well together. We hang out at some off times. We grab some coffee together. Just a great, great gentleman. And I'm really, really hoping this is going to work out. Yeah. It's going to be a good boom for the business.
All right. Well, we'll dig more into that and, into all of your sabbatical, sequesterings or whatever else goes on in the summertime when you're away. So just to let everybody know that Matt Rainey is on one of his many vacations. And the reason he takes so many vacations is because he gets so many vacations. That's the difference in working for a business where you have multiple employees, like Rainey does, as opposed to people like Obando and I, who, you know, you just had a tech that you're working on getting another one. I do have somebody that works for me. I have had full-time techs. I don't have one now. So those vacations don't come by as easily as they used to.
That is true. We just we purchased a camper trailer that was part of my Father's Day gift. So my wife is taking it out on Tuesday night, but yet...
The wife is taking out the Father's Day present.
Well, it's a family present, but yeah. She said, what do you want for Father's Day? I'm like, we're towing it. So she's going to take it out on Tuesday night. Her and my daughter will camp. I will be working late. I have softball that night, and then I have a 6:30 a.m. deployment that morning of Wednesday. So
when do you anticipate the first time that you will get to use it?
It's on the books for the end of July. So I will have to take a part of a Friday off and drive it. But it's going to be like, I don't know, seven other families camping. So it's going to be fun.
Oh, okay.
That's when we're going to do it. But yeah, that's kind of a new experience. I never had anything to tow before. So learning how to back that trailer up is a little... it's different.
Yes, it is. And just so that you know, towing a piece of apparatus like a trailer is much different than driving a Greyhound bus. I have done both.
Yes. And, oh, I've never driven a Greyhound.
Oh, I drove a Greyhound for two summers. It was fantastic.
Well, you always had a bathroom.
That is true. But it was a great, you know, we could talk about that. That was during my freshman and sophomore years of college. I worked for an organization, near where I grew up that basically took old Greyhound buses and refitted them, took out all of the inside seats and retooled them for benches that converted into beds at night. So you could have, you know, like little, you know, picnic style seating with a table that you could sit and play cards at and write and do stuff during the day. And then at night you could convert it down, drop the table down so that the seats and the table became a bed, you know, double bed. And then the overhead storage was not really overhead storage anymore. It was these little single, you know, bunk bed type style seating where you could, you know, slither yourselves up there. And since it was mostly for kids, you know, stuff like youth groups and stuff like that, kids were great to climb up in there and stuff. And the organization actually had, back before portable grilling was really big, they had basically made these portable stoves with grill tops that they would just pull up to a campsite, pull out these grills, and be able to cook for 40 people right there in a campsite. And that's what I did for 2 summers. And drove people all the way from the Keys to the Carolinas to Chicago. And I was supposed to go to Alaska on a 6-week trip, and that changed at the last minute. I did not get to go.
So so people would basically rent the bus, and you were the driver for
the
bus.
That is correct.
That actually sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, we did everything. We were the drivers, the cooks, we did everything. And there's usually 2 of us because basically we would drive so that, you know, if, for instance, if we were going from here to Carolina or here to Chicago, we could just drive straight through and, you know, get through as quickly as we could. And it was great. It was a wonderful experience. So
something new that I learned from Marvin.
Yeah, I got a lot of little hidden tidbits like that. So
we'll have to save my prison story for later.
Yeah, well, yes, we will.
That's a whole nother Podnuts prison stories.
So with that, let's transition. Actually, before we get too far into it, let me take care of the housekeeping stuff. First of all, this is Podnuts Pro, episode number 112. And I am your host, Marvin B. And as I mentioned, he is not a guest host. He is the third M in the 3M effect, Martin Obando. I do want to take time right now to direct everyone to head over to the Unconvention website, unconvention.io. There have been some changes to the website and basically some major updates to the schedule of events. We had a committee meeting last week, and so we are kind of finalizing the sessions, came up with some of the nice titles for the sessions. We're hashing out some of the details, some of the working groups. I think that most people are going to find the working groups are going to be pretty good this year. There's going to be some very good hands-on stuff taking place. We have an expert presentation this year. And all I'm going to say is go to the website, look that up, and there will be more information coming. So head over to unconvention.io. Be sure, if you have not, to purchase your ticket. And when you go to do that, put in the secret decoder ring code of Podnuts to get yourself a discount to bring that ticket price down. And Obando and I were talking earlier. Obando has his ticket.
I do have my tickets.
And he has an airline ticket.
I have an airline ticket. I have no idea. I make change. I've been rerouted once now, so who knows? Maybe I'll hit Alaska on my way through. Who knows? But I will be there.
Do you have your accommodations?
I think I'm bunking with somebody. I don't know who yet. So I think that's kind of what's... I've got multiple people saying, hey, come hang out with me. Okay. So I'm going to show up. But I'm getting there Friday morning. So here's back to our original conversation about vacations, right? I'm taking off... I catch a flight Thursday morning. I'm sorry, Thursday night, 11:30 p.m. So I can be in D.C. before 8 a.m. Friday morning. So I can be available for my clients here on the West Coast. And then I fly out Monday morning at 5:30 in the morning from D.C. So I can be back to Portland by 10:30, 11 o'clock a.m. So I can be available for my clients on Monday. So if I had, you know, when you're flying, when you have your solo, you're doing...
Yep.
Something like that. So,
yeah. And I have to make some type of deal too. I'm actually going to fly out Thursday because I have to actually get there ahead of my family because I'm bringing the whole family in.
Oh, very fun.
So that we can do some touring of DC. So we'll be doing that Thursday afternoon and Friday morning before I engage in all of my conference duties. So And then I'm shoving them out Sunday afternoon. So,
well, I'm not leaving until I just noticed that we get done fairly early on Sunday. So that'll be nice just to hang out.
Yeah, there'll be but there'll be some afternoon stuff this year that, I think the last session actually starts at 3 on Sunday.
Yeah.
And that's a very important session called Schmooze.
Schmooze. Very important.
So, but a lot of it's going to be FaceTime with vendors. So that'll be a good opportunity there. I don't know if I'll be there for that because I've got to, I'm actually renting a house. So I've actually got to probably go back and make sure my family gets out so I don't have to pay for the extra night because renting a house is expensive.
In DC.
In DC. And the business can only cover so much. So.
Well, there's so many rooms in the White House. I think, you know, we taxpayers, right? You just go, can I stay the night? No.
I don't know if I'm welcome there anymore. You know, I had 8 great years where.
I didn't mean it for it to go that way. That's not what I meant. I meant just anyways. Hey, next topic.
I got to watch that Megyn Kelly interview. So, all right. So let's do this. Obando, you've not been here a while. So why don't I just open it up and say, hey, what have you been doing lately besides the tech story? We'll come back to the tech story.
Sure.
But some things that you know, have been wanting to get off your mind or questions you've had, because I doubt you've listened to the show on your sabbatical.
I have. So I have listened, you know, to a couple,
some questions about things we've talked about, some comments, some things you want to piggyback off of, just open floor discussion.
Open floor discussion. So since in my sabbatical, I've been deploying many WatchGuards. That's been my my WatchGuard all-purpose threat management device, not a router.
Your UTM.
That's it.
Unified yes. Threat management.
So I've been deploying those, and those have worked out really, really well. Purchased a new one from a gentleman on eBay. He sent me the wrong one. And then I argued with him, and I did get my money back. That was always fun. So he sent me the picture, but he sent me the picture of the front and the back, not the bottom. But the description was for a newer model. So when I got the model and it was the older model that wouldn't work for me anymore, I said, this is wrong. He quickly came back and said, no, that's the one you ordered. You should have seen the picture. I said, but you didn't show me the serial number. You listed the serial number. So we went back and forth, and I got my money back. But so I've been deploying much more WatchGuards, been really enjoying those.
So I'm debating whether I'm going to ask this or not, but I'm going to ask because sure. I already started. So
please do.
Why aren't you buying your WatchGuards through distribution or why are you buying them off eBay?
Right. Good question. This is for a client who will not spend the money on distribution, and they wanted to know exactly what I was going to purchase because they found that they have somebody on site that can finagle and get prices down.
Oh.
It didn't work out. It didn't work out well for them. So what they said is, we're going to go and we're going to just look. And so I get a screenshot from her while she's at Best Buy, saying, if you're from Oregon, you'll know what Bi-Mart is. From Best Buy saying, oh, this one's $200. Won't this work? Because their limit was like $250, right about there. And all it was just a Netgear with the big 8 antenna, the spider looking one. And I said, no, because they're having a throughput issue. So when all of the students get online, it's shutting their network down. I reroute some of the students through their Comcast remote cable modem, everything works fine. Mm-hmm. So I said, you need a bigger throughput. So that was the only reason I went through WatchGuard. I found this on eBay is because this guy said brand new in the box XTM 26, which I have a 26 in at another site. And the 26s are still valid. You can still get updates on them. He sent me a 23, which is not valid, and you cannot get updates on those anymore. And he said, I sent you the picture. I said, yes, but you listed the serial number of the 26. And you said it was new in a box, and it came... He said, new inbox with power cord. I'm like, great. It showed up with a 30-watt power cord, and it only takes 12 watts or 30 amps. It only takes 12 amps coming in. And I said, this is going to fry this box. Send everything back to him. Didn't hear anything back. PayPal did give me my money back. And he said, you didn't send me the power cord. And I said, I did. It's in there. He said, no, you didn't. I said, okay, how much did you want for the power cord? Crickets. Never heard anything back from him.
Wow.
So I guess the hint should have been when I ordered it and I didn't get it on time. And then I said, hey, have you sent that? And he goes, oh, that's right. I forgot to let my dad know he needs to mail that. That should have been the,
I would have been like, you know what? we're not doing this.
Yeah, so I would not buy them from from anybody else. I would always go through a distributor, and everything else I have purchased, but this was due to a financial constraints of my customer who were kind of at a spot where I said, your throughput's too much. You need to jump from your one router, which was working fine when we had, you know, X amount of staff and students, but you have said you have grown, attendance has grown, and now we need to get something better.
How many people are in their office?
Pushing 300.
Oh, okay.
So,
the
26 will handle it. I've got another one where they're pushing right about that and it's handling it.
And the bandwidth that they're using?
They have a Comcast. It's Comcastic.
Comcastic 150?
They're running at 50.
Okay. 50.
If I split the students, then it seems to work well. But anyway, so that's other than, I mean, I've just been busy. Things have been going really well. I haven't really had too many questions about what you guys have been talking about. Still just enjoying the show. I am jealous that I'm not able to be on it as much as I wish I could, but business is booming and I'm hoping to be back.
Well, when time allows, we will be here waiting for you. And, as we did today, I will make allowances for when Matt's away, you and I will play.
Even if I do oversleep.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
It's because you were sleeping. I was sleeping. You were awake.
Here's what I did get to do because the bottom line is, folks, what we're getting around is that we had a scheduled time that we missed. And when I say we, I was here, but me. He was not. So
I tried to pull an all-nighter and it didn't work out. I thought, I'm going to take an hour and a half nap. It didn't work out. And I woke up still having a big project to finish. And Marvin says, hey, you there? And I went, yeah, but so.
So here's I was going to wait and save this for Rainy, but I'll just mention it here because we did not do the show at the original planned time. I actually caught another bit and piece of a Star Wars movie. So I've seen this movie, and it's the last one where Han Solo dies. And, you know, it's what is the name of the last
one? It's not the Rogue One. It's the Force Awakens.
Yes, the Force Awakens. Wait a minute.
Rogue One is the last movie that came out, but that's the prequel. That's three and a half. The Force Awakens is...
Okay, well, the Force Awakens is the one where...
With the Kylo Ren.
With who?
Kylo Ren.
Okay, I've missed the first part of the movie. I always get to see the end.
Kylo Ren is the son.
Okay, here's what I found out. So I always catch the part where just after, or the earliest I had seen before was when Han Solo dies.
Right.
And folks, if this is a spoiler alert for you, shame on you. But
right, it's been out for many years.
So he dies, and he falls off the thing, and then the girl goes out and fights and does all the thing, and then she ends up flying off to this island and hands the lightsaber out to Luke. Okay, so I had never seen before that part. So I caught just before that part where Han Solo and Princess Leia, who now she's the general or admiral,
right,
or whatever, yeah, she's in charge of everything all of a sudden. And they're talking about, you know, they shouldn't have let Luke go away and all of this stuff. And then you start talking about their son. So first thing is, I didn't realize they had a son. Second thing is, I didn't realize their son was the mini Darth Vader.
Yeah.
So I'm like, what in the world is up with this show where Luke's father turns out to be Vader, and then Han and Leia's son is now the new mini Darth Vader? So just...
Right.
So now I got to go back and watch. I got to try to catch it earlier so I can see how all that happened.
Well, you don't get to see anything. I mean, I don't know what you're looking for, but I mean, how far?
Well, that I think is a very important piece of knowledge.
It is
to know.
An important piece. Yes. Yeah. You don't find that out until actually that is a big one of those aha moments during the film is when you kind of go, oh, wait, this kid, Kylo Ren, who's very immature and kind of just goes off on his, Darth Vader was very strategic in his, when he got angry, right? You see it a lot in the original movie. When he gets angry, he force chokes a person or he says, don't question me, something like that. Kylo Ren just flips out like a little kid and starts throwing things. And it's kind of an aha moment when you go, oh, wait, that's Princess Leia's son who has the same tendencies as, you know, so whether it, you know, it all goes back to the whole thing of you have this power and now whether you choose to use it for good or for bad, Luke good, his father bad, his, you know.
So let's just say it's, I don't know when I'll catch up, but I'll get there because to be honest, I still never saw the original 3, 4, 5, and 6. So I'm going to be lost. And the spoiler alert is for Brad. So Brad, be careful with your email that you send. No, I did not know that they had a kid.
Yeah. Actually, if you haven't seen Rogue One, that's really good. They did a good job with that one. And that is a completely separate story. You can watch it on its own. It doesn't... You see things, but it doesn't, you can, it's a standalone movie. It actually takes place between 3 and 4, which 4 is the original new one. Or, sorry, 4 is the original old one.
Which one is The Empire Strikes Back?
That's 5. That's 5.
Okay. That's the only one that know that I've seen in its entirety.
Okay. Yeah. The one before that's 4, and that's the one from the original one from 1976.
Okay.
So they've been...
All right.
And now they're coming out with a separate Han Solo movie, and they're coming, yeah.
Okay, well, all right. So that's my Star Trek.
Star Wars. Now you just made half the people mad on this podcast.
I'm sure I did. Well, and because Star Trek, I'm watching because they got the Voyager series on, so right. I'm watching a lot of those. Those I understand, those I get. They're self-contained. Anyway.
I don't get
that. All right, back to tech. So, I think I heard you, no, you already talked about the watch guards. You're deploying a bunch of those. You mentioned on one of your shows that you were doing watch guard and an open mesh deployment where you had to rebuild a network. Do you remember that?
Yes. This would have been, so was this the coffee shop?
I'm not sure. No, the coffee shop's what we talked about before you went on sabbatical. This was a Geekster story.
Yes. Yes. So, I think this is the chiropractic firm.
Okay.
Where they had a Ubiquiti Edge light router, mm-hmm. and then they had a Ubiquiti AP. The everything was working really well. And how this network was set up is they had 3 VLANs. They had the work VLAN, they had the private VLAN, and then you needed a VLAN in between so they could talk to each other. So that way people would get on the private or sorry on the sorry they had a work and a public sorry that way the people on the public VLAN would get an IP address from the private side so it could talk through and pass through, right?
Right.
They had the Ubiquiti AP. Things started to go downhill when the Ubiquiti AP kind of, the controller went out of date. It didn't work anymore. You could still get online, but I couldn't do anything with it. And what was happening was they VPN back in when they're not on site. So they had a main location in Portland and they had another location in another city. And so when they went to the other city, they would just VPN back into Portland and that's how they would access their medical management software on the server in Portland. The iPads, no problem. It would use L2TP, no problem. The Windows would fail. I got a hold of Ubiquiti and looked at some of their logs and looked at some of the, kind of their support. And L2TP with Ubiquiti on Windows was not very stable. It seemed like a lot of people were having that issue and they didn't want to switch to PPTP, which I understand. So what we ended up doing was using Screen Connect as a workaround. And so the lady would just use Screen Connect back to the server and then manage. That's how she would just access the data would be on the server. When we went ahead and moved them, I said, you know, this would be a great time if you want to, but, you know, to switch over to WatchGuard and Open Mesh, here's what we can do. We can make the network flat-ish with the, you know, with the WatchGuard and the Open Mesh. And we will do SSL VPNs and you're going to be still secure. But you're also running like your warranty on your Ubiquiti is running out. So it was with them physically moving the office and their hardware for their current network going out of warranty. It was kind of a nice time to just make the switch. Scheduled it all out. We just moved them with all of the original data so that way they could be up and running. And then I scheduled it out to come in on a Friday, I think a Friday night, something like that, to just make sure everything was working. Yeah, it was a Friday night. And unplugged everything. And I already had it all configured, right? I had the WatchGuard all configured, ready to go. I had the OpenMesh configured, ready to go. I just plugged everything in. Everything worked. I had the laptop with me. Would put on the mobile SSL that WatchGuard comes out with a little application. Connected just fine, no problems. Put in all of the configuration for the iPad and the iMac. I didn't have one with me, so luckily on my way back home, I was going to stop by the receptionist and give her her laptop, show her how it worked, and test it. I got to the receptionist's office or home, had her fire up her iPad, connect, VPN, flawless. From the Windows, flawless. They've been now running this now for many months and have had zero issues. The only issue they've ever had was when I copied the password for their guest network over, there was a space in front of it, because in my documentation, I've got, like, you know, the passphrase, space, you know, and then I accidentally copied a space in front. And you can't see that when you copy it over because it looks fine. So I fixed that problem. But other than that, they've been working fine, flawless. They VPN back in all the time with both Windows and their iPads. So that was my first kind of VPN success with WatchGuard. And it's just up and running and it rocks.
Very nice. Very nice. I, as you know, I don't use the WatchGuard. I'm a big SonicWall man. But I've been doing the VPNs for years. And I mean, if you purchase the right UTM device, you know, whether it's WatchGuard, SonicWall, Cisco, I mean, the stuff works. So I wanted to bring that up because, you know, I know that I've been in discussions where people have been using Netgear to do their VPNs. Because, I mean, Netgear has a very nice entry-level VPN appliance, and I probably used it back in 2000. But as soon as I started using SonicWall, I would not go back to the Netgear.
I deployed for the longest time. If you listen to Geeksters early on, I was deploying these TP-Link R600V. It's a TP-Link router. It has decent throughput. It does have VPN in the back end of it, so it works. But what was happening, and I even actually had a company that I have put on a moved them to a WatchGuard, was the throughput. What would happen is he would use the VPN from home, everything would be fine, and then he'd call me on a Saturday saying my VPN's down. I'd remote in, I'd reboot the router. Everything would fine. So it would basically, it sounded almost like it would buffer overflow on itself, crash, reboot the router, VPN's back up and running. After about two calls, and it always happened on a weekend, and I've since implemented after hours charges, so VPN would work fine through the week, and then inevitably on the Saturday it would crash. After about two calls, when it was after hours, he would gladly purchased a WatchGuard and has had zero issues with it. So.
All right. So here's another question I have based on that. Have you used the new A40 or A60 access points with OpenMesh?
Yes.
What do you think of them?
Here's the thing with OpenMesh is that they just work. So I have a 1750 that is working still. I find that the A40, A60s are much, they just feel like they're much more stable. Like, you can tell that. This is kind of their first line after, I believe, after Datto purchased them.
Correct.
These are their first APs that came out. And
well, and also note, this was going to happen before the Datto purchase, whether the Datto purchase happened or not. So this isn't like Datto purchased them and, oh, by the way, we're going to throw these in the line. They were already in production. So
I think what I'm seeing with OpenMesh as they're getting older and more mature, the products are coming out sleeker, faster. Like they're growing up, and it's nice to see a company come out and continue to grow. They helped me out this last week. They already made a device that was 2 months out of warranty, and they said, you know what, we're gonna fix it. They swapped out my devices for free, and they just went above and beyond, because my client was like, well, it's been a year. I had a device that was actually running physically. It was running hot. And the network would stay up, but nobody could connect. So I called OpenMesh, and they said, well, RMA it, no questions asked. They just let us know, send us back the device, let us, you know, and they did it. I don't have a lot of the A40, A60s. I will be purchasing more coming up because I do have a big build coming in. But I found that I like them.
I like them too. Now, if you've got stuff coming up, what are you taking advantage? They've got a promotion going. Do you know that?
Well, here's the thing. When I say by coming up, is I've got it's going to be next summer.
Ah.
It's next summer and it's on a grant. So I've got to wait for the grant to be approved because it's going to be a big build out. So I don't have anything right now that needs one of those, but I may go back and look and just hold a couple on hand.
All right.
Because it wouldn't, you know, it doesn't hurt.
Well, for those of you that can purchase now, because I just did this, OpenMesh is running a promotion where if you buy two of the A60 access points, you get one free. So I think it's pretty much a pretty good thing. I don't know if it's to just existing partners, because I am a direct partner with OpenMesh, even though I am a partner with Datto, but I was a partner with OpenMesh before. So this was sent by email. I don't know if it's, you know, just open to the public or whatever, but you do have to have an account with OpenMesh, you know, in order to do the promotion. So you just go in, use a discount code, and we'll put that in the show notes. I'm not going to say it over the air, but the promotion, I think, goes through, what, the end of June?
Yes.
Something like that. This will be released before the end of June, so.
Have you used their switches yet?
I have not. I don't, you know me, I don't like to change stuff up.
No, and that's why I asked, because I'm in the same boat too.
Here's what I did do. When Datto made the announcement and I attended the webinar of the announcement and they talked about the programming that they can do, the price point for the switches are such that I don't want to even try them because of the way the pricing is. So whether I do it through OpenMesh directly or do it through Datto, it just wasn't enough for me. I did recently make a switch from Netgear and HP. HP was my number one choice. Netgear was my backup choice for switches. And I only do managed switches now. I just went to Arachnus at the beginning of this year. So I'm at the point where I'm not going to make another change. The Arachnus are working for me. The price point is great. They're fully managed. And until somebody uses the OpenMesh switch and can show me that it's, you know, hands down better than the Arachnus, I probably won't try.
Well, and I don't like to put, for lack of better terms, all my eggs in one basket. Like, I wouldn't fill up a rack at a, you know, small to mid-sized business or even enterprise business with all the same, you know, everything, because you never know what's going to happen with the company. You never know. Maybe it's just me. Maybe it's just a security thing in the same way you don't ever buy two hard drives from the same, you know, from the same manufacturer for a NAS. You know, you kind of can split that out a little bit for protection. Like I said, I may be way overcomplicating something that's as simple as it's okay to get an access point and a switch from the same company, but they're also looking at they're looking at routers later on. You know, I wouldn't want to make all my whole Netgear backbone the same.
Well, I would do it from this standpoint. I don't go as far as you as to, you know, not buy from this same manufacturer. I try to mix up the batches maybe so that I don't, sure. You know, I will try to use the same vendor most of the time. So if I'm doing a NAS or I'm doing a rack full of switches, like I've got, I just, when I did the Arachnus switches for my one customer, it's three 48 port switches. So I did all three, but I didn't purchase them all at the same time. So I purchased them at different times. So I would not get them from the same batch. Supposedly, I have no idea. I mean, they could do a million, you know, and then the hard drives, I really don't worry about that as much. But I will say this, for something like this, where this is new for them, and they haven't been doing switches for that long, even if they purchased another company, I need to see how they work for a while. So like I said, until I know other people that have used them and can tell me good stories, and I can find one that I can basically test, I guess is the best way to describe it. Because what I'll do is I'll put, you know, this, which is what I did with HP and Netgear and Arachnus. I basically put three side by side and put my Fluke to test. And what could I see by using those? And, you know, I did do my little deal where I ran the same test on all three to see which one completed faster, because sometimes it does make a difference and it might be just a few seconds, but that's a big deal. I checked the management of them. Can I, you know, go in and see port stats through my Fluke on the managed devices? Because a lot of managed routers are not really fully managed. or there's some tweak you got to do or something like that. So, like I said, I just made the switch to Arachnus. I won't make a switch for another year.
Yeah. And I guess I realized that I said manufacturer and I meant batch. So when I said that for the NAS, I'm not going to buy like one Seagate, one Western Digital. I meant I may get a Seagate or Western Digital from two different batches.
I know people that do that.
Right. And have I done that as much as I probably should have? No, because I've had a Synology that I implemented and then turned around and it was stolen. And 2 weeks later, I implemented a new one. So it was, that's a whole other story.
All right. So yes, folks, we're still on Open Mesh, still like them.
Yes.
They're my go-to for the initial wireless access, but if I need something with a little more robust need, I'll move up to Ruckus. So that's what I do there. All right. So here's another question, and this is kind of off topic, but are you still using 9i Pro?
I never was using 9i Pro.
Okay. Scratch that question then.
Sorry. It's one of the applications I have not gotten into.
Well,
so.
I'll just throw this out to the community. Anybody listening?
I know I should.
And I've used 9i Pro for a while. The question I was going to ask you that I will now ask to everybody else but you is I need to know if anybody is using the new 9i Pro dashboard. And for those of you that don't know, there's several ways you can use 9i. You can either go to the site, select your applications, download them into an install file, and then push them out to whatever computer that you're on. And if you save the file, then you can just go from computer to computer with your USB stick or external drive or whatever, do it that way. I subscribe to 9i Pro, which you can actually subscribe to a set number of computers that, for instance, my subscription, I can do 500 computers per month with updating. And you get an installer file that, for instance, I put it on all of my either admin stations that I have at customers or a server at the location. And then from that one file, it loads up and you can select all the computers on the domain and do your installations that way. And you can either select your applications and do an install. You can select update. You can do an audit to see, for instance, if I want to see whether Dropbox is installed on any computer on the network, you can simply select Dropbox, select all the stations, and audit to see which stations it's installed on. And then, of course, you can go and uninstall Dropbox from that way. But 9i introduced a web portal where you can go in, and instead of having to manually go into a server or admin station locally on that network, you can load up all of the computers in this dashboard. And I've started to use it, but I don't really like it. So I wanted to find out if anybody else had been using it. To be fair, I've only got about 10 computers that I put up there from two small clients to see how it works. But you basically put an application on the desktop, but you can go to the panel and decide, hey, I want to update this station in these applications and just do it from the web. So theoretically, I could put all 500 of my machines up there and just do it from one panel instead of having to log in to each network and do it. So that's what I want to see if anybody's used that, because there seems to be some good features where you can set up policies for a set of computers. They don't have it to where I can set up a client and then all of the computers, you know, can be grouped under the client. So those are the types of things I'm looking at and see if anybody's done anything like that on the 9i Pro dashboard. So scratch that off my list because you and I can't talk about that.
Sorry.
But what we can talk about is Microsoft patches.
We can. So this was my... We're gonna go back in time here, all the way back to March. And I had a client who was taken down. And, well, no, I had a friend. He's not my client. I had a friend who was doing some web hosting for about 30 different businesses. And he, including our softball association's website. This is a Windows server that he was hosting, and he all of a sudden we got an email from a couple people on the on our network on the board saying, "Hey, the website's down." I said, "Well, he'll have to look at that. I can modify the website, but I'm not hosting it." Come to find out after talking with him that he was taken down by one of the leaks from the NSA utilities.
Ooh.
So yeah, and all of his data was encrypted, and he lost everything. And I called him up and I said, "Well, what is it? You know, what does it have on it?" And he said it was the Thor virus, the one that I think it changed everything to Thor. Yeah. And I said, "Well, okay. So first off, unplug it. Well, get it off the network. And second, let's check your backups." And he goes, "Well, my backups were to the machine." I said, "Okay.
What?"
So I didn't, it's not my place to say, "Well, that's not very smart." We just said, "Okay, well, what's the next step?" What ended up happening was he ended up having to rebuild quite a bit of stuff and was able to find some old backups. So, but this was something that was, this was an issue that was patched. So this must not have happened in March. I think the patch came out in March for these. And I said, "Well, have you been patching your server?" And he goes, "Well, no." I said, "Okay, so you probably want to start that up. And maybe we need to start up some stuff." And he basically said, "Well, I'm not too concerned about it because I'm shutting down the business at the end of the year. So I'm just going to tell the people, I'm sorry for your loss. I'll give you your money back if you want, but ta-da."
Okay. Business note number two.
I said, "Okay." I said, "If you want to talk about backups, we can get you something going." He's like, "Yeah. Oh, okay. We'll have to talk about it later because really it's the server's going away." Okay. All right. So it got me thinking and then followed up by everything else that happened, especially with the UK.
The WannaCry. The scare. The WannaCry from last month. Yeah.
Right. Right. So, you know, I've talked to colleagues and, you know, I've talked to myself and I've talked to you guys about this is what is the best practice to do with backups? Do we say, well, we're going to create a test environment. We're going to take all of our stuff and and this is specifically for servers. We're going to take all of our servers. We're going to create a duplicate server topology. We're going to test all the backups that come in and then we're going to make sure that it works. And then we will push them out at some point in the future. And this could be a month or a couple months down the line. And I remember doing this in education.
You talking about backups or the updates?
I'm talking about the updates. Okay. Is that we update a test network. Does it work? Yes. Is everything fine? Okay. Now let's proceed with pushing out it to in production. Let's make sure we patch production servers because we've already patched test servers and they haven't crashed, blown up, caught on fire. So this was a way that a company of mine used to do it. And it was fine. It didn't really bite us in the rear very often because it just didn't. And there have been times, of course, that we know when Microsoft will push out a patch and the patch is bad. And then they have got to fix the patch. And so that would be the justification of we need to push it out to a test environment before we push it out to a production environment. The question I have is that a smart move? Because we are in a time where ransomware is so prevalent, and this especially with WannaCry, that it attacked computers in May. And it could have been fixed by a patch applied in March. You know, shame on the technology to the technicians for not patching it. Even if they said, "Well, we're going to put it in production," then at least within the month, get that patch put out. But should we just say, let's skip the whole putting it into a test environment and go straight to production? Even on the off chance that a small percentage of the time you may get a bad patch put up by Microsoft. Or do we want to still stick with the thought of go with a test environment, make sure it all works, then push it out in production, and hopefully don't get bit by some kind of ransomware or one of your clients clicking on a link or an email or, you know, punching the monkey, whatever, and getting the network network encrypted?
So that's a lot. There's a lot of meat to that question. So
I know. Because I think about these things where if one of my networks was encrypted, you know, I've had a computer get encrypted and it was not on a network. And so we just reloaded the computer. You know, it's been a long time, knock on wood, that I've had a And it wasn't even my client that started to take down the network, you know, but any tech out there should be just a slight bit terrified that they're going to get a phone call saying, hey, all of our data is encrypted.
Right. So let's tackle this in layers. So the main question is, do we apply Microsoft updates right away? And the short answer for me is no. However, I think that most people listening to this broadcast are going to be either, they're going to be on either side, but for the same reason. And the reason is we don't have test environments at every client that we can do that with, let alone one client that we can use test first. So unless you're in a corporate environment where you are in the same network every day, 8 hours a day, and you have control of that network, and you have the resources to set up that environment, then by all means, yes, set up an environment, do your tests first. But you also should have the capability of doing a, you know, WSUS server or a SUS, you know, or something like that, to where you can kind of deploy updates out to a certain group of computers first and all of that. Most of us don't have that. And even if we're using an RMM tool, and to be honest, I can only speak for Max Focus. Max Focus isn't as granular as my WSUS servers used to be. Because I used to do everything with WSUS. But ever since Microsoft made it to where you can't run WSUS on a domain controller, I mean, it's just, it's ridiculous. I can't set up a second server just for updates at most of my clients. So I do everything through Max Focus. But there's very few that I will say deploy immediately. Basically, what I'll do is I will try to manually push those out after about a week. Now, I've only got one client where I basically let them push out everything. And I was affected by that just this past week because Microsoft did push out a security patch which broke attachments in Outlook. Now, granted, this client is mostly Outlook 2010, and it wasn't every station, but we're talking 140 domain workstations. And I had one office where there was about 30 stations that were all affected, and then other offices where maybe one or two people out of, you know, 15, 20, 30 were affected. In that case, what I did was I just went ahead, and the people that had to have certain stuff work right away, I uninstalled the patch. Everybody else, I just left, because I figure at some point Microsoft will fix it. And if it's big and bad enough, they'll fix it this week.
Right.
If it's not that big and bad, they'll fix it next month. But to go back to your original question, I don't do a test environment. I just can't. I don't have the time. I don't have the resources. I don't have a tech that I can pay to say, hey, go test this for every client, because every client's not going to want to pay for that. The second part of your meaty question is backups, which I don't know that you can do backups in hopes of repairing a bad Microsoft patch.
No.
Right. But you can do it for, obviously, for WannaCry and Thor and ransomware and all that stuff. So I am a firm believer in backups.
I think my question was just originally for just updates.
Okay.
Because backups were from the story originally.
I'm sorry. That's probably because I have a big, you know, slap on the wrist number one, backups.
Oh, well, of course. Yeah, no, that I think that definitely goes without saying, is that you have to have backups.
Yeah.
Especially with the amount of ransomware that's out there right now, you have to have backups. It just, it's not a, well, that'd be nice to get to at some point. You really have to have backups.
Yeah, but in terms of the patches, I don't think that there's a, I don't want to say there's not a right or wrong answer, because somebody's going to email the show and say, you idiot. Right. Because I think you're just going to have to pick your poison. I think it depends on the number of systems you're responsible for, the amount of time you have to vet stuff, and what your tolerance level is. And when I say tolerance level is, if a patch comes out and you have to uninstall from X number of machines, is that going to be a nightmare for you?
Right.
And
yeah, I agree. There is no right or wrong. It's just a thought-provoking question of potentially shifting the way we we used to do something to something because of the way of the, because of the ransomware that's out there shifting the way we think.
Yeah. Ransomware is definitely changing the mindset. And I think it's for people that were having a tough time selling backup before, I think ransomware in the last 3 years has made selling backup much easier.
I know that my clients are more willing to pay for backups now than they were before. And it's not because I haven't stopped talking to them. It's because they turn on the news and they hear the world's crashing. The UK, you know, the UK system is going down. And I will actually get phone calls from people saying, we need to get rid of all of our Windows XP computers. I said, you don't have any Windows XP computers. You know, you haven't had Windows XP computers in years. Oh, okay. I said, but we have this backup. Remember the backup we talked about before and now we have purchased? I said, that is, you know, we have that for this reason. Oh, I'm so glad we have that now. Like it now we have to wait for the fear to be able to justify the backups for something we've been saying all along.
Right. Now, the other thing with that, and I will say this, my one client that, well, let's just say this. I did have a client with some XP machines through the beginning of this year. Not by my choice, but by the choice of the tech that was at the office full time, who just didn't get around to installing new computers. And shame on him. He's no longer there now, and I don't have to worry about it, but thank God he did it.
Well, I just had a client who just, for the longest time, they had a Windows XP computer because it was running a certain version of QuickBooks and it was off the network, and they would plug it in to say, all I'm doing is listening to music. And I'm like, please unplug it from the network because it's no longer valid. Like, just unplug it. Well, I want to listen to music. I said, I hear you. I'm telling you, I would prefer that you didn't. I can't force you to not. I'm not on site.
Wait a minute.
But if you do, you could.
Wait. Time out. He would plug in a computer to listen to music, not get it on his phone, bring in a radio, not buy an Alexa or a Google, okay, Google thingy or
no. Well, all about the Spotify. So he then upgrades to QuickBooks. We put a Windows 7 machine in, we upgrade to QuickBooks, everything's working fine. 2 days later, I get an email from him. So I'm not using QuickBooks anymore on this old computer, Windows XP, but I still want to listen to music to it. Can I plug it in? Like, no.
Can he not use?
It has nothing.
Can he not use Spotify on any other device?
He can he? Yes.
Okay.
Will he? That's a whole nother question. I had to write in many emails many times saying this has zero to do with Spotify. This has zero to do with that. I said, this is an operating system that has not been patched in now, 3 years? It just, please do not plug it into the network. Oh, okay. I guess I understand now.
Wow. So I actually just blocked Spotify on a couple of machines at a client because they just didn't want to listen to me. And I haven't had them complain yet, but I actually went so far as to block them using my application control in the UTM to block them.
Well, yeah, this is a small three computer office drive time. It's about 6 hours from me. Mm-hmm. So I
get them a watch guard. You can block all that.
That would be nice. They do not have a lot of money at all.
So here's what you do. Buy them one of the, what is it, the T10s? Is that
right?
The,
oh, yeah.
Just do it yourself and find a way to charge a little extra anytime you visit to cover the cost eventually.
They don't like it when I visit. That's a lot of money.
Well, yeah, well, that's what I do. I just roll it in somewhere in the monthly. They don't even, you know.
Yeah, they would know.
They would. All right. So much for that. All right. So back to the client that lost everything, or your friend.
Yeah.
Your friend. So he's closing up shop at the end of the year.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. He was going to close up anyways. So he kind of just told his customers, I'll rebuild from what I have, or you're welcome to go somewhere else if I don't have your stuff. Ta-da.
So the question isn't really how is he going to protect them going forward, because he could care less from what it sounds like.
Correct.
Okay. So that's what I have as slap on the hand number two. Is he not preparing an exit strategy for his clients to hand them off to somebody like you who will take care of them and do just as good a job or maybe even a little better in taking care of them?
I don't know his exit strategy. He's just providing web hosting. That's all he's doing. He's not doing that. But to answer your question, I think his exit strategy is, hey, in 6 months, I'm closing down.
Start looking for somebody else.
Yeah. I said, well, you know, we could set you up with a Linux box. And he goes, anyways, he had some choice words. he is a ASPX SQL guy, and everything else is script kiddies.
I see.
So I say, well, hey, how about we just coach the softball team and we'll move on?
All right. So I do have to apologize because I think I zoned out when you were telling the first part of the story and I mixed up the backup and update thing. I just got a email from a customer who is panicking, a law firm, and their case management program froze up on them, and they were like, I gotta get this done. So I went and killed the program and told them to go back in.
I love that. I get the calls. I do get the calls randomly of just, my computer's got a virus. Help. I remote in their computer and it's just the web page. Kill Internet Explorer. Start it back up. I'm like, oh, thank you so much. I thought I was infected. I'm like, no, you're good. Thank you for calling me. That's what I need you to do. Because I've had the people go, I called them and I said, please tell me you didn't let them remote in. No, when they wanted to remote in, I knew that probably wasn't a good spot to be in. So I hung up on them. I'm like, well, all right.
Yeah. And just so you know, I don't always answer via customer emails after hours. But this is a very good customer. So if I'm available, I will respond. If not, they know that I most likely may not respond and it'll come back during the next business day. So, but I will say this, this is not really a story or a tip, but every so often I've got a customer where I have to force them to let me go in on the weekends, or after hours, you know, 6 o'clock on Friday or something so that I can do server maintenance. This is a customer. They've got a ton of servers still, physical servers, five in the one location, and then they have other locations with a server. So every now and then, I've just got to kick them out because, you know, granted, I can go in and I can look at the servers. I can, you know, schedule restarts overnight and stuff like that. But there's two servers that no matter when I try to do this, somebody is always working. And if I, you know, stay up till 1 a.m. and go to log in just to see if I can reboot the server real quick, no, there's five people working, you know, through terminal services. And they're from all different parts of the state. So it's not like I can, you know, shut down one office, you know, at Tallahassee and Tampa and Miami. So I will go through this thing where I'll send out emails for a week, server maintenance this weekend. And it's a law firm, so inevitably, I'm always going to get somebody that says, I'm prepping for trial. And I always get to respond back with, your name's not on the door. You can let me work in the server for an hour. So I send out multiple emails, and I actually try to be cute with my emails just so that they'll read them. And so...
Virus alert. Just kidding.
So this past one, I actually did a... I won't say that, but let's just say I send out plenty of emails. So I show up, and this one particular time, I'm doing a 3 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon. And I send out emails starting Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And of course, I get there at like 2:45, log in to see who's working. And there's, you know, four or five people working. So I send them the little messages. Hey, server maintenance is starting in a few minutes. Please start saving your work and logging off. And I get this email from this attorney who is like, we are prepping for trial today. When will the server be down? And why wasn't this scheduled? And all I do is write back and say, sorry, please see my previous emails. And then there's a secretary there who is also in the office on a weekend prepping for trial, who literally just thinks that she can ignore me. And so I start the shutdown process, and because I'll basically send out a shutdown notice to all the computers with a big old message, server maintenance starting, please start saving your work. This computer will restart in 9 minutes. And wouldn't you know, she called the tech support line at that client's, I got special permission to be here so I can work and do this. Why do you have to do it now? And I was just like, why do customers have to just, well, I shouldn't even say because they're not the customer. The customer is the managing partner and firm administrator who signs the checks. She's just a secretary for one of the attorneys. And I'm sorry, maybe I just needed to vent. Like I said, there's no story or tip here. Just.
No, I hear you. I showed you my list of reboots, and one of the clients that I have to reboot is that their computers, I force their computers to reboot on Wednesday mornings because nobody will do updates. They just have pretty much told me, we will not do any updates. So, and we're not going to pay anybody to go around to all 30 computers and do updates. I said, not a problem. I have a policy that says install the updates and reboot the computer at 3 a.m. on Wednesday mornings. But because of their software, which is the most wonky software I've ever heard of, every single computer uses a software, and what it does is a shortcut to an application on the server. So 30 computers, one shortcut, each computer has a shortcut to the same application on the server. That's how they all use this application. When the server reboots, if the users don't close out of the application, then it freezes the workstation, and they don't know what to do. So I reboot the server on Tuesday night after the Tuesday. So it's usually like the second, it's usually the Tuesday, because I reboot, like I do reboots this weekend because it's the first Sunday following the patch Tuesday. Right. I will reboot their server this Tuesday night. That way Wednesday morning when they come in, the server has already been rebooted and they can reconnect back to the server through this wonky application. I have a client who called me Wednesday morning and said, my computer rebooted. I said, yes, it did. We've had this discussion. She says, I lost all my data. I said, all your data? She says, well, I lost a document I was working on. I said, not a problem. Just open Word back up and go back to the last time it was saved. And, we've had this discussion, and I was more correct with her. But I said, just basically go back to that. She says, I never saved it. I said, how long have you worked on this? She says, 6 hours. I said, you did not sit save at all in 6 hours. Nope. I said, what about the autosave? Nope, it's not there. I said, well, I would suggest that we practice saving in the future. I was nicer, but essentially that's what I wanted to say. This went to management. Her computer now is taken out of the reboot cycle, and she is required to reboot her computer, and I don't think she's doing it. Because it's inconvenient for her to save any Word documents.
I'm sorry. I'm processing because I've had customers come to me and do that, and I basically say, I can't do that. The policy,
right. And I told her that
the policy is for everybody. And
I said, and I gave her the reasons why. And the manager, the guy who writes my check, the owner of the company, said, you need to take her out so she doesn't get rebooted. And I explained to him why. And it got to the point where I don't want to argue with him because that doesn't show good judgment on my part. And so she's taken out, and I will probably be sending her emails.
That's not judgment. I mean, it's
well, not judgment, but I just don't want to argue with.
I understand what you're saying, but then I would, and you know what? I'm trying to think. I had to do something like that, but I actually, this was a managed client, a service agreement client. Mm-hmm. And I actually said, I can do that, where I took a group out. It was a billing department, I made a separate policy for the billing department. But then I said, you realize, though, I have to charge you for this extra policy and for maintaining it. So I billed them an extra $100 a month just for that. Maybe you could, I don't know if you could get away with that, but that's what I did. And I said, yeah, we'll change it so that they don't, I said, but they do have to be restarted. They do have to be updated. And if they don't do it, I have to make sure that they do, because if something happens on that network, the person that you're going to yell at is me, not them.
Right.
So I will take them out of it, but at some point I will have to go in and make sure the separate policy is running. If for some reason they shut off the computer, the policy didn't run or whatever, and I have to go in and check it manually, I will do that. But you are being billed extra for that. And they actually just said, okay, fine. Now, granted, their monthly bill is like $4,000 a month, so.
Right.
Like, it's an extra 100, just so that I don't have to hear that employee whine.
Yeah.
So, that's, I don't know, but you probably can't do that, what it sounds like, but I would try to do that.
Yeah, I'm going to have to start doing something like that with them. They're not on my managed antivirus, so I can't check and see if patch has been updated. They chose not to take that line. Now all my new clients, this is one of my early clients, very early on. So I've now made changes to my business where if you're going to be a client of mine and you have asked me to manage and maintain your network, servers and workstations or vice or either, you know, either or, this is what I require. And if that was not going to work out for you, then we may not be able to do business together. Just because I realize the bigger I'm getting, the busier I'm getting, the more protection I'm going to need.
That is true. And actually, the way I present it is, look, we have standardized everything.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's not that it makes it easier for me, although it does, but it's more for you as well. If you know that everything is standardized, if something is out of the ordinary, we can catch it, we can fix it, and we can keep you protected. And that's updates, patches, virus protection, content filtering, backup, yada, 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 down the line. So I actually have to rework my presentation sheet when I go out to a new client so that I could have, I'm including some different options now. And basically, it's you can choose option A, option B, or no option. And I'm forcing them now to actually sign documentation so that if something comes up later and they say, well, you didn't really, you know, say that we needed that, because the biggest one is always backup, you know, where they don't want the backup, but then something happens. Well, you know, if it was that important, you should have pushed it. And I'll be like, you know, did you see your signature here where backup is an option that you declined? Pay me $1,000 to fix it.
Then and sign on this line for that much money.
I tell you what, that was, I'm sorry, the $1,000 triggered because I did one of my longest clients. I've had them since 2000 officially. So 17 years.
Wow.
The only backup I could get them to do before was to a NAS drive. That's all they would do. And I had been pushing them for the last 2 years to do an external backup. So when I first started with them, they were doing tape. And the tape would stay on site at the office. And if a hurricane came, we took the last tape and FedExed it up to Massachusetts. So I think around 2006 or 7, we went away from tape, went to backup to the NAS, and I've been trying to get them to, you know, either let me swap out NAS drives so that we can take it offsite or start moving to a cloud backup. So this customer has been hit by malware, ransomware twice. And I had been lucky with being able to retrieve backups for them. So I finally had to say to them, look, you are an insurance defense law firm. So
the irony.
Your customers are required to follow things like HIPAA and all of that stuff. And they said, yes. And I said, so you recently presented me a document from your largest client, and they had a whole list of security requirements that you're supposed to do, one of which is to protect their data. And there's, you know, this security document's pretty big. So there's a whole bunch of other stuff that we also have to address, like secure remote access and encryption, you know, at rest and in motion. I mean, there's a whole bunch of stuff, but for some reason, backup was the topic of the day. And so I was able to refer them back to that document and said, okay, so this is, and when I say big customer, let's just say, I don't know if they're still the largest retailer in the world, but it's one of them. Said, so not only have they asked, are you protecting their data? They want to come in and audit you to see how you're protecting their data. So if something happened to your Fort Lauderdale office, hurricane, fire, whatever. That's where your backup is. So you're in Hurricane Alley. So I know that when companies come in to do audits, one of the questions that they ask is, what other provisions are you providing for backup and protection of our data? So if we can't prove to them that we're backing up that data someplace else, so that if your main office gets damaged, not only do you have backup and recovery options, but do you have a business continuity plan? And I said, we'll get to business continuity in a second. Let's talk about backup. I said, I've been trying to get you to do this backup for a couple of years now. And so I was sitting with the firm administrator and the managing partner. And the firm administrator just kept, that's a lot of money. And where do we back it up to? And so the managing partner looked at me and I said, I have a service that it's an all-in-one appliance where we can do a backup. We can do offsite all together. I can do versioning. It's encrypted. Nobody can get into it. It's going to cost you $999 per month. It was $949 with 1 year retention. And he goes, well, that doesn't sound too bad. And so we looked it up, you know, because, and I took him, and by the way, I'm talking about Datto. I should have mentioned that. So I'm on the iPad and I'm showing him the Datto and we're like, look, so you've got 1 year retention. He goes, well, can we do longer? And I said, yeah, we can do unlimited or whatever they call it. He goes, well, how much is that? And I said, well, that's another $50. And he looked at me, he goes, really? I can do 1 year for $949 or infinite for $999? I said, yeah. And he goes, do it. I mean, it was just something where I had to get the right timing with him and basically to say, look, your biggest customer is asking for this. What are you going to do? Tell me what I can do. You can do this for $1,000 a month. Done. And that was just, I should probably package that into a nicer story and use that.
Yeah, stuff. That's a great.
Because they didn't want to listen to me, but as soon as that document from their client said, hey, are you doing this? So now we're doing everything else, and we've got to do this encryption, which I just did BitLocker encryption on their servers. And we're doing, you know, we'd have to change the secure access to their terminal service. So, hey, it's more money for me, and I don't have to sell it.
Yep.
I just say, send me those security requirements from your number one client. Oh, they said you have to do this? Okay. Here's how much you got to pay me.
Yep.
All right. So, we're trekking along here. We're at our normal spot where we kind of wrap things up. And anything else you want to tell us that has been on your mind or struck you while you're on sabbatical?
Oh, no. No, there's some, we got some other stuff, but this sounds like maybe we'll have another day together. So, another recording possibly. So,
all right.
Yeah, we're doing well. I'm enjoying it. All of it. Living the dream.
Living.
The good, the bad. The good, the bad, and the good and the bad.
All right. Oh, you know what? There was something I wanted to bring up, and I can't remember. Is Live PD is in Portland, aren't they?
Live PD?
Yes. Do you know what Live PD is? Live PD on Friday and Saturday nights from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern. Live PD is basically a show on A&E where they are following law departments, police departments, sheriff's office, fugitive task.
It's like cops.
Yeah, it's cops live is what it is. But they're following six departments all at one time, and they just bounce back and forth. And there was an episode, and I don't want to speak out of turn if it isn't, but I think it was in Portland. Where they were doing a car chase that the dude, I don't know how fast he was going, but it was a massive wreck live on TV. And I was going to ask you if you had seen that.
I'm trying to think of any massive wrecks. I mean, we get massive wrecks all the time, but no, nothing that rings any bells.
Because I'm trying to figure out where it was, because I don't think it was in, how far are you from Portland?
I'm about 20 miles. But it's all incorporated from here. I mean, it's just city from here into Portland. And then, I mean, Portland itself is not small, but then the area itself is pretty big.
All right.
I mean, Portland's been on the news lately with the Max Train stabbing of the gentleman who stabbed the two Muslim girls was going that. So that's been our claim to fame lately. That guy's nutso. Yeah. Anyways, that's been our local claim to fame. And that's, and it's interesting because almost that same exact Mac stop, which is on the east side, a couple years ago, an elderly gentleman was beat up just because. And so I don't, if I need to go out to Gresham, I go through Gresham if I'm taking the MAX train to the airport. But usually I take the MAX train if it's usually pretty early in the morning, but I stay on the MAX. I don't get off the MAX. And I, especially not in the Hollywood district.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll do my research for next time to ask about live PD in Portland.
All right.
And
now I'm gonna have to watch that show. I don't have A&E, but it looks like I can maybe watch it on the internet.
Okay. And the other thing I want to do is before you do all your packing, we need to make room for you to bring a beard beer.
Oh gosh.
To the unconvention, so that
I'm gonna have to. I don't know if I can fly.
Well, yeah, they're
okay.
TSA is coming out with a new imaging system where you can bring liquids now. So hopefully that'll be done before then.
All right. I will see. I may just have to mail it out there.
All right.
I have to go find one. I'll just have to mail it to you guys.
Right. I'll pay you to buy it and ship it as opposed to $20 for one bottle.
Who made that? I can't remember. Was that Portland Brewing? No,
it was that weird company where they did all of the specialty beers.
Rogue beer.
Yeah.
All right, I'll see if I can find it.
Okay.
No. Maybe it'll be at Costco and I can buy like 12 of them at the same time.
Costco.
Yeah, no, they make like voodoo donuts, beer, and they make some everything. Weird stuff. Oh, yeah. Well, up here in Portland, Costco sells microbrews.
Oh, we got to talk to some. Oh, Amazon. What's up with Amazon buying Whole Foods?
Oh, yeah. Okay. sometimes it's referred to a whole paycheck.
Is that have to do with their Amazon pantry that they're trying to do, and they think Whole Foods fits in the pantry?
I would not think that Whole Foods fits in the pantry. I think Whole Foods is it's just like any I know I'm gonna offend somebody, but a higher end organic food store, it's expensive. I mean, their food is great, but I don't shop there. It's there's a reason it's called Whole Paycheck. I don't know if do you guys have Whole Foods out there?
Yeah,
way,
we do.
Or?
Yeah.
Okay.
We've got them down here. I mean, I'll go if I'm looking for something specific that I can't find someplace else, but no, I'm not buying my meat from Whole Foods or my.
Well, their meat there is delicious, but it's also alarming. I like to, you know.
Oh, yeah. I had thought about when I was going to go, you know, I didn't want to use the term organic. So listen, I can say this. Because I'm not a big organic guy. You know, I mean, I'm all for taking, you know, steroids and crap out of our foods, but I am not going to go and pay twice the cost, especially when, you know, even Purdue chickens are now have something wrong with them. So, and they've had no antibiotics ever. So they claim.
Yeah. No, I'm right there with you.
But $13.7 billion.
I just listened to a podcast called How I Built This. You guys, if you're interested, it's very small, but it goes through, they talk to people about how they started their company, and they just spoke with the owner of Whole Foods and the CEO, and they talked about how they built Whole Foods. And then now I'm hearing that Amazon bought them. And I don't know. They've put in a huge Amazon distributing warehouse, just not 3 miles from where I live.
So here's what you can tell your buddy, because, you know, the whole concept of growing a business, you know, there's this big push that, well, you don't own a business unless you're willing to grow it so it can be sold. Okay. Most techs don't think that way, but, you know, with the, you know, at the risk of, you know, Jeff Hallish turning off the podcast, managed service providers have been doing this for a while where they build up a managed service business so it can be bought. So have your friend, before he, you know, decides to just take a bail, find a way to package up that business to sell it to somebody. Sell it to you, and you just, you know, lowball him or something to buy his customers.
I don't know. I think these are not, you know, it's interesting that you say that, because I met 2 weeks ago with a, uh, I had a, a, a friend of mine who works for another company here locally say, hey, we are interested in you and your clients, and we would like to have a meeting with you to potentially buy your business and have the customers come along. You know, we would basically be buying, you would work for us, we would give you some X amount of dollars for your business and your customers, and they would come along. They would become our customers, but you would get money. And I said, well, it doesn't hurt to talk. So I went and met with the owner, and the owner is pretty much like, no, we would like you to come work for us, but we don't want your customers at all.
What?
And yeah, he says, yeah, we're not interested in taking on customers. So I said, okay, well, we met and that was that. But I've, you know, my customers, my name means a lot to me and my customers mean a lot to me.
Well, wait a minute. Did they offer a number?
There was no number. I would basically just drop Obando Computing, tell my customers, it's been great, but I'm moving on to something else.
I would have at least made them slide a piece of paper across the table. I mean,
he wasn't. We weren't even at that stage. He was not interested.
Then why did they want you? I mean, what?
Well, I had spoke with an employee. I didn't really speak with the manager. And so by the time I got a chance to talk to the manager, the owner of the company, I got this, and I've met him before. And every time I've met with him, I get this weird vibe. And I don't think it would be a great place for me to work. I don't think it would work out very well. And I like where I am. So we just...
All right. Well, that opens up a whole nother discussion because I've actually had talks with other techs because, you know, there's always this whole discussion as, you know, how long do I hold on to my business? Do I give up my business and go work for somebody? Do I partner with somebody? And I've had discussions with a lot of techs, no, I shouldn't say a lot, but a few techs down here that have always talked to me about, you know, merging or partnering or buying me. And I'm like, you know what? I can't do it. And I'm not tied to the name. I'm not tied to a lot of things except for I like what I do. I get paid very well for what I do. And I take care of my customers. And if I think that, you know, even 2 out of 3 ain't bad, doesn't work. Yeah. That's an issue. So it's something where, I mean, I'll have to think about it at some point, just not now.
Yeah.
And I can tell you this, I am not going to leave my business to go work for one of my clients. And I know a lot of techs have done that. And that, like I said, that's an episode we can discuss all on one topic. Techs that have done that. So, all right. Okay. Sorry about the sidetrack, but sometimes things just pop in my mind.
That's how we roll.
Too bad we can't play music. This is how we roll. What group is that? It's another country group. Is that Florida Georgia Line?
That's the only group that I've heard country in the last time that we've actually seen each other in person. Oh. So that tells you how much country I listen to.
I got a whole new playlist for you.
I just want to be crammed. Hey, I won't mind. I'll listen to your playlist as long as we're crammed into a tiny car and it's 110 outside.
I'll be talking to Dubinsky soon. We'll ask him about that.
Other than that, I don't maybe we'll just sit really close to each other just to reminisce.
We'll get an Uber in DC just to remember the times.
Could you please just drive us around in circles just so we can listen to country music and reminisce?
All right. Well, let's go ahead and end off the show here. And again, I do want to mention to check out the Unconvention page. And sign up for it if you haven't already. It's going to be a great time. A lot of techs like us, business owners, be out there to have a good time and share some business ideas and stuff. And let me go find my good friend, Ben. Here he is. All right. So, blah, 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 blah. Here we go. This is an ode to you, Obando.
All right,
because
to Obando.
Yes, because you've had these long days recently. So, picked out this quote just for you from Ben Franklin: "Work as if you were to live 100 years. Pray as if you were to die tomorrow."
Preach it.
So, ladies and gentlemen, we thank you for listening to this episode of Podnuts Pro. Please be sure to listen to some of the other great podcasts on the Podnuts Network. If you've got questions, comments, suggestions, reports, not complaints, please send those to podnutspro@podnuts.com. One of us will respond to you, and we'll probably mention it on an upcoming show. So on behalf of the third M, Mr. Obando, I am Marvin B. Until next time, holla.
Hey, this is Martin Obando from Geeksters on the Podnuts Network. Thank you so much for listening to the show right now and supporting the Podnuts Network. We can't do it without you. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, something that tickles your fancy you want to ask us about, you can reach out to us at geeksters@podnuts.com. You can always listen to us. We're going to be here all the time trying to figure out what's going on with the world of computers. Hey, don't forget to be grunted out there. Thanks, guys.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.